Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Rebecca's going to come and share with us today in the final part of our series on prayer. So let's welcome Rebecca and say thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I love Rebecca so much for two reasons. One, people around her tend to thrive. And two, she is 100% herself. And I think that that says a lot about someone that's awesome. So we love you, Rebecca. Thanks for sharing today.
I love you too, Luke. He's a good guy right there. Well done, Sarah. We are continuing our sermon series on prayer called Uncovered. Inspired by the words of Simeon in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, where he is holding the infant Jesus and proclaims, "I have seen your glory, your salvation rather, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations." 2 weeks ago, Luke talked about the mystery of prayer and the importance of learning to be attentive to and dependent on God. Last week, we heard from Dave, who talked about the point of prayer. In prayer, we remember God. We are brought to a humble place. We are given hope, and we become more open to the supernatural. Today, I have the privilege of concluding this series by talking about the produce of prayer. If you have your Bible with you, I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start reading at verse 36 and end at verse 38. Now, if you don't have your Bible with you, the verses will be on the screen behind me so that you can follow along. Now, before I read the text, allow me to give you a short recap on what's happened up to this point in Luke chapter 2. Jesus is born. There is glorious celebration involving lowly shepherds and a whole host of angels. Sometime later, Mary and Joseph take the infant Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem, where he is presented to the Lord. It is here that we meet Simeon. The Bible says he was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come. As he's holding little baby Jesus, he praises and prophesies over him. And this is where we now enter our text. Luke 2:36. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. And she was very old. Her husband died when they'd been married only 7 years. She lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be here together as a family, to learn and to grow in you, to experience you in deeper ways. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today through your word, that we would have ears to hear and a heart to receive what you are saying to us. In your wonderful name, amen. So here in Luke chapter 2, we're introduced to Anna, a widower and a prophet. Not much is written about her. In fact, everything that we know is found in just these three short verses. But what we read in these verses is incredibly inspiring, especially as it relates to prayer. So here's what we do know of Anna. She was married once. 7 years into her marriage, her husband died. In the midst of her pain and in the midst of her loss, she did not allow herself to become bitter and angry with God. Instead, she planted herself in the temple, where prayer became the focus of her life, and she remained there until the end of her life. Now, customarily, a girl in those days got married at 13. If Anna followed custom, she became a widow at 20. Now, there's some discussion about whether she was 84 when she died or she spent 84 years as a widow. However we interpret this text, we can say for certain that Anna spent decades in the temple pressing into the presence of God through prayer and fasting. Can you imagine spending that much of your life in prayer? It's clear that Anna's devotion to prayer produced intimacy with God that connected her to God's heart for the world and his work in the world. What we see in Anna in these three short verses is that prayer produced in her passion, persistence, patience, and praise. I believe the same can be true of us. When we talk about being transformed, about receiving God's heart for the world, these are the things that prayer will produce in us that will make us more effective in that work. For the next few minutes, we're going to first look at how prayer produces intimacy with God that connects us to his heart. And then we're going to look at how prayer produces intimacy with God that connects us to his work. Several years ago, I went on a youth and young adult missions trip to Quebec. That's how they say it, Quebec. Because of the sheer amount of people interested in the trip, the church decided to take three teams over instead of just one. Two teams served as ministry teams, and one team served as an intercessory prayer team. There was one particular team that I had my eye on. It was the team that was going to serve kids and youth in the city of Three Rivers, Quebec. They were going to be involved in church and street outreach, which means drives and testimonies and service projects. Pretty typical for a missions trip. This was right up my alley. To be honest, I was quite certain that I would be on that team. But one Friday night before a youth gathering, a couple weeks before we were set to leave, I was informed that I would be a part of the intercessory prayer team. Yay! Thank you, Lord. See, outwardly, I tried to be as excited as I possibly could. I was like, yes! Yeah. But inwardly, I was disappointed. In the spirit of authenticity, I felt like I'd been benched on this missions trip. See, I wanted to be involved in drives. I wanted to share my testimony. I wanted to serve kids and youth. I wanted to tangibly do something on this missions trip. We went on the trip, and in the beginning, it was hard for me because in my mind, I saw more value in the doing. But the more that I pressed in and prayed, the more my heart began to change. I'd heard all about Canada's mission field. I was very familiar with the stats. But I never really understood the extent of the spiritual need until I was present among the people. As I spent a week praying, talking to God, and listening to him, God taught me a very important lesson. I couldn't effectively be his hands if I lacked his heart. I couldn't effectively be his hands if I lacked his heart. To be effective in doing God's work, we need to be passionate about people. About his people, because there's a big difference between someone who has to do something and someone who gets to do something. There's a difference between someone who's obligated to do something and someone who's excited to do something. We will be more persistent and go further the more passionate we are for the people that God loves. When Anna encounters the infant Jesus, the Bible says that she began to praise God. She celebrated. Now, the sheer act of her persistence showed that she was truly invested, decades in the temple, praying and fasting. And the praise she gave was a natural response to her life of devotion to God, to her transformed heart. She celebrated because she knew what this child would mean for the world. And she was just as excited. There's this idea, I don't know if you've heard of it, but the more time we spend with someone, the more they rub off on us. How many of you have heard that before? Yeah. That is to say, the more like them we become. I believe that happens in prayer. To spend time in prayer is to spend time in the presence of God. And since we become like those we spend time with, it transforms us into the likeness of God, which means that our will becomes shaped to the will of God and our desires become aligned to His. God rubs off on us in prayer. When we pray, we come to the place where we pray with sincerity in our hearts, not my will, but yours be done. Prayer produces intimacy with God that connects us to His heart. And out of that heart flows the desire to do His work in the world. Intimacy with God that is produced in prayer gives us meaning to His work. We aren't just doing God's work because we have to. When our hearts are transformed to His likeness, we begin to wholeheartedly believe in that work. We are just as invested. When Anna sees Jesus, she not only begins praising God, but she begins talking about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly. She wasn't told to tell everybody about Him. She naturally did it. She got caught up in the work of God. It just flowed out of her. We read a similar story in John's Gospel where a Samaritan woman has a profound encounter with Jesus at a well. She's so excited that she runs back to her village to tell people about this encounter, leaving her water jar behind. The whole point of her going to the well. The intimacy that we have with God naturally calls for a response. We see God at work and we want to be a part of it. We are no longer spectators. The work of God, church, is exciting and it's transformative. In many ways, prayer takes the extraordinary and breathes it into our ordinary. Our ordinary lives are just that, ordinary. And yet when we begin to see the way that God does the extraordinary, we recognize that He does so through our ordinary. We see that with Anna. We see that with the woman at the well. We see that time and time throughout Scripture. And I've personally experienced this myself. Many years ago, I was interning in the youth department at a local church here in Langley. I spent a lot of time praying and caring for students. As a female leader, my primary focus was, you guessed it, on the girls in our youth group. As I started to spend time in prayer with these young girls, God began to open my eyes to a work that needed to be done. And as I prayed, He began to stir in my heart vision for the ordinary that I prayed God would breathe the extraordinary into. This vision was called Beautiful One. It was a 2-day conference that was aimed at reaching, encouraging, inspiring, and empowering teenage girls. I remember sitting around a table with my team, and Joanne was a part of that team, and discussing what this weekend was going to look like and how many girls we were believing to reach. And we needed to pick a number for various reasons. And we settled on 200, thinking that was a reasonable number. It was faith-filled and yet realistic. Am I right? All of you people who ever had to plan an event understand what I'm talking about. I lost my place. That's okay. So we began working on this conference that would serve 200 girls. Now, as promo went out and registration opened, we noticed that there were a lot of girls interested in coming. In fact, a week before the conference, I was informed that 600 girls were registered. 600 girls, and we only were offering 4 workshops. So we had to make some adjustments. Over the course of the weekend, and this is really the wow factor here, we saw hundreds of girls give their lives to Jesus. Many received healing. They found purpose for their lives and were set free from heavy burdens they'd been carrying. Beautiful One was birthed in prayer, and it flowed from the heart of God. It was also seeped in prayer. We had a lot of people praying. The impact of that 15 years later is that we still hear stories of girls whose lives were changed that weekend. 15 years later, we still have girls coming up to us saying, "I remember Beautiful One. That was the weekend I blank." See, when we are connected to the heart of God, we naturally get swept up in the work of God. And there is nothing more thrilling, nothing more fulfilling than getting to be a part of that work. I once read that prayer changes the world because prayer changes us. Prayer changes the world because prayer changes us. Prayer changes our communities because prayer changes us. Prayer transforms us to become God's hands and His heart in the world. At this time, I'm going to call Nick up. Jesus says to his disciples in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 4 to 5, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot bear fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." A fruitful life, church, is a life that is connected to Jesus. To remain in Jesus is to have a close and personal relationship with Him, and that is developed through consistent times of prayer. Prayer produces an intimacy with God that transforms our hearts to His likeness and allows us to effectively become His hands in the world. For the next few minutes, we're going to spend some time in personal prayer while Nick sings over us. You can sit or you can stand. You can reflect on the words of this song. You can open up your Bible and meditate on Scripture, or you can allow your heart to speak to God and allow Him to speak to you. Let's not rush out of here. We've been talking about prayer for the last 3 weeks. And it's not just about teaching. We actually got to pray. We actually got to take some time to quiet our hearts before God and allow him to speak to us. No one needs to go anywhere. No one needs to do anything right now. Living Waters Church, if we want to effectively be God's hands in this world, if we want to effectively be God's hands and his heart in this community of Fort Langley, then we need to connect with his heart. We need his heart, God's heart, for it. So let's take some time this morning to connect with God in prayer, and let's take some time to allow him to transform our hearts.